holding God's hand. Isn't that neat? So that's what I'm doing. I'm holding on for dear life. I'll tell you that. It's great. Wonderful. A little story in the back. I have to read the story later, but you don't get to hear the story. I don't know about you, but last Sunday was a great Sunday till about 8:30 in the evening. I don't know. I had lots of questions on my mind last time. Talk about, you know, questionable gift, and I was beginning to question a lot last Sunday when the Riders were playing, or what they were doing, I'm not sure, but I mean, I figured it out. What does it take for the Riders to win the Grey Cup? One less man, you know? But I'm sure if you are a Rider fan, you had many questions last week as you watched that game, or maybe you wore your sunglasses through it, I don't know, but I couldn't question why they gave up a point. I mean, there was tons of stuff that were happening. And anyway, everything's fine now. My blood pressure's back to normal. The doctor says I'll live. So, but questions are a part of life, aren't they? Just a part of life. I think Mary, the mother of Jesus, she faced tough questions that first Advent season. Many of us know the story well. It appears in Luke chapter 1. And it's a great passage of Scripture, one that often we just know so well that we just take it for granted. But I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to look at this passage here this morning. It tells us the story, beginning of verse 26, it tells us the story of Mary, and it says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Isn't that sweet? Sounds so nice. But her reaction, and I'll read it for you, but I'm going to read it from another scripture, but a different translation, sorry, but I'm going to look at it first in here. Verse 28, the angel went to her, Luke chapter 1, went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And then verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, the Living Bible paraphrases it this way, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be frightened, Mary, the angel told her, for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. Wonderfully bless you. Now, I know the blessing of a child. I don't know if I've never given birth to a child. But I don't know how I would feel about, you know, being pregnant and not being married and not even having any kind of relationship with a guy. And, you know, I'm sure I would be, like Mary, confused and disturbed. The word in the Greek actually means scared stiff. I think that fits. You ever been scared stiff? You know, ever... You know, ever happened to you? Happened to me this week many times, but last Sunday. Yay, we won! Oh, there's a player, another player on the field, and they take the kick again, and you're just all like this, I'm sure. Scared stiff. She's very, very shaken by this. She didn't know what to think. And I'm sure there were a lot of questions that overwhelmed Mary. As I was thinking about these questions surrounding that first Advent, I realized that I have asked similar questions at one time or another in my life, maybe even this past week. And maybe this morning, I thought, maybe this morning you are asking similar questions. Maybe like, what is everybody going to think? What's everyone going to think? I mean, what will everyone think when I tell them I'm single, I'm pregnant, that the baby will be God? I mean, what are my parents going to think? What are my friends going to think? What's my fiancé going to believe? She probably thought she'd lose the only man she loved. I mean, if your fiancé came to you with a story like this, would you believe her? I'm pregnant, I haven't known any man, and the baby's God. By the way, I thought I'd add that in. I mean, what were the chances other people were going to believe her on this? You're pregnant? You're still a virgin? Yeah, right. And the Father? God? Okay. I think she had the fear of criticism, the fear of rejection. Have you ever felt such emotion? What is everyone going to think? Secondly, what's going to happen to me? I mean, God is going to make me pregnant without using a man. How is that going to happen? You know? Do you think you'd have a bit of some questions? You know, like, how is this going to shape? Shape. You know, anyway, bad choice. Where's Mandy? Sorry. I hear her laughing. Anyway, God, it's never been done that way before. You can't do it this way. You have to do it another way. I'm sure she had a fear of the supernatural, probably. See, there was a mystery to this. What's going to happen to me? Have you ever asked that question? What's going to happen to me? Third question, how am I going to handle this? I've asked that question many times. How am I going to handle it? How would you like to be given the parental duty of raising the Son of God? Teenage girl, unmarried. I would be afraid to be inadequate. I mean, James Dobson wasn't around at that time. I question, what am I going to do? What if I made a mistake as this mother? I'm an unmarried teen and I'm supposed to raise this perfect child. I'm supposed to raise God. How am I going to handle this? Ever been there? God, how am I going to handle this? Fourthly, how is this going to change my life? Now, I tell you, the fear of change is horrible. The unknown. Not knowing. We find it so hard to give up what we do know. And I think she realized that her life would never be the same again. I mean, God is in the business of changing lives. That's what makes God so wonderful. Because he stretches us beyond what we could imagine for ourselves. And sometimes the change is very drastic, like Mary. Sometimes the change is positive and sometimes the change is negative. But no matter, if we put God in the change, we cannot go wrong with the change. How is this going to change my life? Do you ever ask that question? How is this going to change my life? Well, today I want you to know that God can use you in spite of the questions that you have. Just as God used Mary, God can use you. Just as Mary was presented with a questionable gift, so often we have questions arising regarding even our own gift that God gives us. The first principle to relinquish questions is develop an awareness of God's presence. You got to develop awareness of God's presence. I mean, you're aware, you need to be aware. Are you aware, first of all, that God is always with you? See, this is the antidote to being afraid. This is how you fear not. See, like, verse 29. Mary is greatly troubled at his words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." I sound like a ghost. You found favor with God. You will be with child. You give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Don't be afraid, Mary. Fear not. Realize that you are never, never alone. I recall hearing a testimony at a baptism where the person shared, had the privilege of baptizing this person, but where the person shared that when she was 15, she felt very afraid. 15. Around the same age as Mary. She prayed to God. Lady went on. She prayed to God. And he heard her prayer. And she said, it was like God held me, and I felt him. He was there. Those are her words. God is there. First thing the angel says to Mary before he says anything else, peace be with you. Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you. He's found you're a favorite in his eyes. God's presence and God's peace go together. When you got one, you've got the other. Too many people are thinking of security instead of opportunity. See, and if you don't have peace in your life, it's because you don't recognize God's presence in your life. When you recognize that God is with you, he is present, then you'll have the peace of God. You don't get one without the other. The presence of God and the peace of God go together. So you can be at peace. Whenever God asks you to do something risky, you can always be assured that he's going to be there with you. Do you know God is with you? You're not going to do it by yourself. And if you're thinking of doing it by yourself, then you've got a problem because you can't do it by yourself. Mary, you can't do this by yourself. You need God. God comes with this plan to Mary and says, this is what we're going to do. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll be with you. I need to continually develop an awareness of the presence of God in my life. Develop this awareness. Become continually aware that no matter where you are, God is with you. Say, God is with me. Say it again. God is with me. Third time. God is with me. You guys got it. Do you know his peace when you say that? Knowing that he looks after you. So to relinquish questions, you've got to develop awareness of God's presence. Then you've got to devote yourself to God's plan. How many of you believe that God has a plan for your life? Come on. Yeah, he does. God has a plan. He has a customized plan for your life. Every one of us. It's all just customized for you. But you have to choose that plan for your life. Mary chose to cooperate with God's plan for her life. She said, here's my life, Lord. I want to get on with your program. Look, Gabriel explained God's plan. When he said, when he said, you'll be with child, you'll give birth to the son, you'll give him the name Jesus. And he went on and on. And Mary asked this question, how will this be? I'm a virgin. See how she tried to get out of the God's plan? She tried to rationalize. Wait a minute, you don't get this, God. let me try and change this a little. I gotta let you in on a secret. How's this going to be? Because, you know, I'm a virgin. See, we try to rationalize rather than do God's plan. Wait a minute, God. I don't think you've thought of this yet, but... But I better let you in on this. I can't do that because of this. You know, of all the ways that God could choose to come into the world, how does he choose? The same way everybody else came into the world. By being born into it. And God says, I'm going to come into the world not on a big horse. There's not going to be thunder or lightning. And I come into the world the same way everybody else does. Why did he do that? So we could all relate to him. Because that's how we all got here. I mean, how many of you were born? Some of you don't know it yet. You'll figure it out eventually. Nobody's afraid of a baby. Did you ever think of that? Well, some men, I mean... Time of year, change the diapers. Ooh, you know. He came like everybody else came. Mary, you're going to give birth. But wait a minute, I'm a virgin. Quit the rationalization, Mary. All right? Look at Mary's response in verse, 38. Well, 37. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary answered, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. And then the angel left her. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm willing to do what he wants me to do. May everything you said come true. Are you willing to do whatever God wants? You think about that. That's a tough question. I mean, am I willing to do whatever God wants for my life? Now, the easy answer is automatically say yes. And if you say yes, be prepared for the journey of your life, because it will be the hardest journey. I mean, you think about it. Mary said yes to God. Was it easy? No. What did Mary risk? She risked everything. Her reputation, her marriage, or upcoming marriage. I mean, can you imagine the gossip that spread about Mary? 14, 15 years old, unmarried. I mean, poor Mary, poor Joseph. Have you heard their story? Have you heard the one they're trying to put off on everybody? She's pregnant, yet they're denying that they had any relations, and they're saying the baby's God. I think they've gone off the deep end. They should be committed or something. I think they need to see a psychiatrist. I think they have a very dysfunctional relationship. I mean, why hasn't Joseph left her? He must be codependent or something. I mean, can you imagine the slander? The ridicule? I mean, here comes literally the godparents. She put up with a lot. It wasn't easy saying yes to God. Just like it's not easy for us either. You say, well, I live in country, you know, freedom. I can be free. I can choose what I want to do. Yeah, you can choose. So could a Mary. I'm glad she chose the way she did. If you get serious about devoting yourself to God's plan, people will misunderstand. You will be criticized. You'll be misunderstood because it will be different from the way most of the crowd goes. You can count on that. God's plan for your life involves a risk. And part of that risk is that people will misunderstand what you're doing. And it involves cost. I mean, what God asked Mary to do was not an easy thing. Even though she was doing what God wanted her to do, it was so difficult. It cost her great. But God blesses. God wants to bless your life. God wants to use you. Because he loves using ordinary people. But you gotta first develop an awareness of his presence, and then you got to devote yourself to his plan, and then you got to delight in his power. See, to relinquish questions, you also got to delight in God's power. Delight means to enjoy. It means to relax. I think God used Mary because she was really open to the miracle of Christmas. She didn't fear supernatural. If you look at this Luke passage in Luke chapter 1. Where is it? I want you to go to verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Now, there's nothing God can't do. Nothing. Well, how come God doesn't do miracles in my life? How come he never helps me in such a miraculous way? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God will do a miracle? Now, don't answer that. I want you to think about that for a moment. Don't answer that quickly, because they'll tell you why. Because often we live in such a safe environment spiritually that we don't take any risks for God to believe that he's a miraculous God. Do you truly believe that God will do a miracle? Remember my son, Nathan. He read a book entitled In the Chat Room with God, and it was a great book about teens on the computer, and they're in this chat room, and God enters into the chat room, and they have this correspondence together. And I want to read, just put it up there, I want to read It's a few lines here. Do you think, God says, do you think people would respond differently to me and my message if I parted seas every day? Would some still doubt? Would some try to tap into my power and use it for their selfish gain? Jen smiles, who's in the chapter, and says, if you can really part seas, why not do it? Just to show how powerful you can be, people would have to respond to that, even people like me. God says, some of them do. Jen smiles, says, what do you mean? God says, I perform miracles every day. Some appreciate them. Some don't even notice. A miracle is not a magic trick. The world I created is a miracle. Life itself is a miracle. You are all miracles. You're all miracles. Do you believe God will do a miracle? Not can, but will. Think about it. How often do I share my faith? Do I regularly tithe? Do I desire to use my spiritual gift for God? Can God do what you think he cannot do? Can God do it? Do you believe he can? Albert Einstein said, there are two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle, or you can live as if everything is a miracle. I'm so inadequate. I'm just a young girl. What did Mary do? She didn't worry. She worshipped. She didn't worry when she was faced with her inadequacies. She worshipped. She didn't panic. She prayed. She praised God. And that's Mary's song in this passage. She praised him. She writes a song. Her reaction to all this news, which would really, I believe it would scare, well, it would really scare me, scare the rest of us. She just let it out in a song. She wrote a song of praise to God. She worshiped God. Next time you think that you can't do it, try worshiping God, because he can do it. A couple of lines. Mary said, my heart is overflowing with praise. That's what I call delighting in God's power. Praise of my Lord. The one who can do all things has done great things for me. She just delighted in God. When she was inadequate, she worshiped instead of worrying. You know, we can come with so many questions, and so many questions are going to be thrown at us. It can throw us completely off, and sometimes we'll wonder if we're going to make it or not. And I want to show you this video because it'll probably help you understand that a little better. Just throw the video up there.
The third grade world geography question is, Budapest is the capital of what European country? Budapest is the capital of what European country Nathan has already locked in?
This might be a stupid question.
I'm guessing it's probably
okay.
Going to be.
Like, I thought Europe was a country. Let's see. Budapest? I never even heard of that.
Alright, here's your options. I mean, you could drop out with $10,000. But
like,
got...
I know they speak French there, don't they? Like, I want to say, is France a country? I don't know what I'm doing.
You know what? Let's talk about your options.
Okay.
Kel.
Yes.
Focus.
I am. Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I only hear what I want to.
That's just called being a woman. Let's talk about this. I really want you to get to 25,000 because no matter what happens after that, you're walking out of here with 25,000.
All about the charity, so
it is.
I gotta think what's best for them. Let's see. I am just going to copy.
Copy.
Come on, Nathan.
If you had had to guess, do you have a guess?
I don't think France is a country, but I would have said that. I don't know. I'm just going to say France. I don't know.
Okay. France is a country. I will tell you
it
that.
Is.
If you had said France, you would have gone home with nothing. That's not the right answer. The right answer is hungry.
Is what?
Hungry.
Hungry?
Like I'm hungry.
That's a country? I've heard of turkey, but hungry, never heard of it.
Do you ever watch that show? Okay, I don't endorse it, but I'm not endorsing what Jeff Foxworthy said there. But there is no problem in your life that cannot be solved by God. There's nothing God cannot do. So delight in His power. See, devote yourself to His plan. Develop an awareness of His presence. See, when you do that, you relinquish questions. And when you relinquish questions, you depend on God's promises. You depend on His promises. Look at verse 55. She says in verse 54, He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. I mean, she goes, Mary says, God kept His promise that He made to our ancestors. And He came to the help of His servant Israel. That's what she's saying. Did you realize that in the Bible, there are over 7,000 promises? 7,000 promises waiting to be claimed by you. I'm going to go through them all right now. 7,000. No, really. We need to depend on the promises of God. Instead of being so angry and bitter and critical and judgmental, we need to start living like God promised for us. Praising Him. The more you know the Word of God, the Old and New Testament, the more you will not question your life. You might just want to get some signs and posters and symbols or something and put them up in your home and in your office. You may want to get stuff just to remind yourself that God is always with me. In fact, my wife would put a little handwritten scriptures all over the house, just sticky notes all over. You know, I got all these little sticky notes in my head just because I see them, you know. You may want to set your watch for every 15 minutes. When it beeps, remember, oh, God's with me. That's right. Why did God choose Mary? Of all the people He could have chosen, because she was a woman who depended on the promises of God. She did. She believed God. She believed God would do what He said. She believed the promises of God. I challenge you to fill your life with the promises of God. To dig into His Word and just start reading. And I'm going through Proverbs right now. I love the book of Proverbs. Some of you don't like it. But I love the book of Proverbs. I'm taking two verses, three sometimes, and I just read it. You know, I read it again and ask God to just reveal to me what I need to see there, and I spend time with Him. I want to absorb Him and the promises He gives. Fill your life with the promises of God. I love this Christmas account because it makes me understand that God is always looking for people. God always wants to use and bless lives. Always. He takes very ordinary, innocent people. And in spite of worry and in spite of fear and in spite of panic, He uses them for His glory. In spite of the questions, God comes along and He lets us know His peace is available. Jesus said, "My peace I'm taking with me." No, He said, "My peace I leave with you." God wants to use you in ways you have not even imagined yet. But are you open to Him? Are you relinquishing the questions in your life, much like Mary, she did. She developed, she devoted, she delighted and depended on the true meaning of Christmas. She let it all go. She had questions, but she let it all go. She worshiped instead of worried. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Mary said yes to God. I'm going to ask you, have you said yes to Him? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ? Christmas will become meaningful if you have that relationship to the one whose birth we celebrate. And maybe you need to come today, and maybe you need to say, just right in your heart of hearts, Jesus Christ, I want you to have all of my life. I don't understand it all, but I want you to have all of me. And maybe you need to say, God, just put your spirit of peace, love, joy in my life. I mean, maybe you need to say, help me develop an awareness of your presence, God, on a moment-by-moment basis. Maybe you need to say, I want to devote myself completely to your plan. I want your plan for my life, not my plan. I want your plan, God. I want to get on with your agenda. I'm willing to do whatever you want, as Mary did. Help me to delight in your power. To not panic, but to pray. To not worry, but to worship. To realize that nothing is too hard for you. Maybe you need to say, I want to depend on your promises. Jesus Christ has promised whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, would you do that right now? Just call on Him. Jesus, I call on you to just save me. I need you. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I ask you to come to my life. I believe, if you pray that prayer, I believe God heard you. It's the beginning of a brand new relationship with Him. Maybe you need to say, God, I've got all these questions, and I feel like more questions are thrown at me, and I can much relate, almost in a sense, to that lady who was on that show. God, I just feel overwhelmed right now. I can't even think straight. Will you just surrender to Him everything? Will you devote yourself to Him and His plan for your life and quit trying to do your own plan for a change? Because God may have something. I know He's got something great and wonderful, just like He did for Mary. Thank you, Father. The message and the miracle of Christmas. Thank you that you take ordinary people, you do great things through them. I pray that many people will unlock the door, allow you to just come into their lives completely dedicated and devoted to your plan. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we worship. Instead of worry, we worship you. We worship you, God. Thank you for using somebody like Mary so we can understand that God, you use ordinary people, and you bless them. You bless us, God, when we devote ourselves to your plan. May we do that today. May you receive all the glory and all the power in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the elders to come and prepare the Lord's table. If you remember last week, for those of you here, you came and presented and tore up basically your offering of your pain, your hurt, your worry. And this replaces all that. This is what replaces all that. The birth of Christ into this world cannot be talked about without the cross. because he was born here just as a baby, but died a horrible, sacrificial death. And he did that for your hurt, for your pain, for all the turmoil you're going through. This, in essence, is the greatest sacrifice this world will ever know. May we come close to it in some way, even today, as we worship him. This table is open to all those who've asked Jesus Christ to be part of their living. To all those who follow Jesus Christ, he welcomes you to this table. This table is not ours. It is not the table of this church, but it's the Lord's table. And we invite all those who've accepted Jesus Christ personally into their life to share in this observance. As you receive the bread and drink from the cup, please, I would ask that you wait until we've all received them, and then on my indication, we'll take them together, signifying the unity we have in Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, I will now ask Dan to pray for the bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for you and me.
Our Heavenly Father, you've reminded us through your word that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he is the bread of life who offers himself to us today. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
We read from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Mandy will now pray for the cup, the symbol of Christ's blood shed on Calvary for our sins.
Our loving God, this Advent season, every time we see a baby or a child, it reminds us how much you must have loved us to have given us your only Son, who shed his blood for us. And we're so thankful. Help us just to be thankful for that sacrifice, because we ask it in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. We read further on in the Word of God. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. At this time, we're taking up our offering of benevolence.
And I should fill you in that this month has been extensive as far as needs in our community. And so I just want to thank you for what you do as far as presenting this to the Lord for those in needs in our community. And it's been extensive, so you've been a big part of that. So thank you and praise God for you.
Let's stand together as we praise God in song one last time this morning.
His name is wonderful. His name.